Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to review the new record from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds called Ghosteen. And we're also going to memorialize drummer and Cream co-founder Ginger Baker and the Muffs singer Kim Shattuck. But first, we're going to share some songs we love by bands we really don't love.
This was a fun idea, Greg, that our producer Alex had. And we were calling it shorthand, songs we love by bands we hate. I don't personally hate anybody. There's music I choose not to ever listen to. Very few people in the music world, anyway, on the musician side, not on the industry side. But it's a great idea, right? I would never listen to a full album, a full stream by this band, but I love this song.
I think that's the key, Jim. It's not so much that the band is just, you know, they need to be consigned to hell, although I might make a couple of exceptions for that.
A few. I've seen your list, yeah.
But this band in particular, I never really particularly hated this band. I just was totally indifferent to them. I'm talking about The Cult.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit metal, a little bit hard rock, a little bit goth, a whole lot of cheese. Not a band I would ever listen to voluntarily. But there is one song in their rather long career that I really love. She Sells Sanctuary from their 1985 album called Love. I heard this song in the context of going to clubs like Exit in Berlin in Chicago. And, you know, they'd be playing set, you know, the DJ sets would be like Love and Rockets and New Order. And this song would sort of be right in that pocket. And I remember distinctly saying to somebody, I really hate this band, but this is a really good song. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I still feel the same way about it, you know, decades later. Ian Astbury isn't much of a lyricist. The lyrics are all about, and the world turns around. Really, Ian? Thank you. This guy is profound. But the guitar by Billy Duffy on this song, that from the introduction with the effects pedals and into that driving propulsive sound over that really cool, almost danceable groove that Nigel Preston sets up on drums, made this kind of a crossover track in terms of it not only hit the hard rock crowd, but it did get played in clubs, as I'd mentioned. Lo and behold, the guy who really holds this song together, Nigel Preston, the drummer that I just mentioned, got fired right after this song was recorded. So that tells you a little bit about the Cult's taste in drummers.
Well, that and the fact that Astbury wound up being like the Morrison stand-in, the Jim Morrison stand-in for the Doors reunion.
Well, that's exactly where they're coming from. As I said, a whole lot of cheese, but this song rules. She Sells Sanctuary by The Cult on Sound Opinions. Sells Sanctuary by The Cult. I would say it's a guilty pleasure, but it's not. I'm not guilty about it at all. I like that song.
I don't, but I appreciate your defense of it. Greg, I have two songs, first two here on my list, that I've always thought were about a teenager right on the cusp of becoming an adult. But as I research them both, neither is about that. And it kind of makes me like them less, and they're both by artists I don't much care for. Now, look. Stevie Nicks is beloved by many, including our producer Alex, our old producer Robin Lynn, you know, worshipped at the White Witch altar of Stevie Nicks, right? To me, Fleetwood Mac post Peter Green was emblematic of everything wretched excess about 70s mainstream rock. I never liked them for that reason. Stevie's solo albums were often a little too wispy for me, you know, and the whole White Witch persona. Okay, but Edge of 17 is a freaking great song. Again, I always thought it was about, a teenage girl coming into her own, realizing as she approaches adulthood these new powers. Instead, it seems to be about, Nix wrote it the week John Lennon was assassinated, and she was in a relationship at that time with the producer, Jimmy Iovine, someone I do hate in the music industry just for the evils he's foisted upon us with his various record company head endeavors. And I don't know what it has to do with John Lennon. And also, actually, I don't know what the lyrics have to do with anything. You know, now, Greg, I'm going to do the dramatic poetry reading. Just like the white-winged dove, sing a song, sounds like she's singing, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh. I have no idea what that, but what does that mean? It's often misheard by people as just like the one-winged dove, and I think that's actually a funnier line. But I don't know, there's something about that 16th note chugga-chugga-chugga rhythm on the guitar. It's Waddy Wachtel, one of the great L.A. session musicians, and the way it pairs with the drums. It's all about that forward propulsion for me, and it's my favorite Stevie Nicks moment, the only Stevie Nicks moment I'll endorse. Edge of 17 by solo Stevie from her debut as a solo artist, Belladonna, in 1981. It sounds like she's singing, Greg. Stevie Nicks, Edge of 17.
Interesting choice. I'd have gone with Stop Dragging My Heart Around with Stevie as kind of the one track that I would pick. But
I'd give that to Tom Petty.
Yeah, true. My next choice is by an artist I don't... one of those artists I don't particularly dislike greatly. I just was very blah on him. But again, there was one song that really connected... when you had a dance party or you were at a club or whatever the case may be, where you just wanted to get up and move around. It was really catchy, really dumb, but it really worked well on the dance floor. And I'm talking about Mellow Man Ace's Menta Rosa from 1989. His older brother was Sendog of Cypress Hill, went on to much greater fame. Mellow Man Ace only actually put out a couple of albums and then pretty much disappeared from the music scene, leaving behind this one hit song. It was on his debut album, which actually had some high-powered producers on it. The Dust Brothers worked on this song. And it also has a neat hook, courtesy of Santana's Evil Ways.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, you know, again, not particularly, profound, not particularly inventive, but really catchy as one of those songs. When it comes on, you just want to move around, and then you start becoming... you start thinking you're bilingual and start phonetically pronouncing some of the Spanish words that are in the song. And next thing you know, you're a Mellow Man Ace fan for about 3 minutes.
I'm trying to imagine you doing the phonetic thing at a dance party.
You know, give me enough red wine and anything's possible. You know what I mean? Mellow Man Ace with Mentirosa on Sound Opinions.
Check this out, baby. tenemos tremendo lío. Last night you didn't go a la casa de tu tío. Resulta ser, hey, you were at a party higher than the sky, emborrachada de Bacardi.
No, I wasn't.
I bet you didn't know que conocía el cantinero.
What?
He told me you were drinking and wasting my dinero. Talking about, come and enjoy what a woman gives a hombre.
But first of all, see, I have to know your nombre.
Now I really wanna ask ya, que si es verdad.
Would I lie?
And please, por favor, tell me la verdad. Because I really need to know, yeah, necesito entender. If you're gonna be a player or be my mujer. Right now you're just a liar, a straight mentirosa.
Ooh, me?
Today you tell me something, y mañana es otra cosa.
That is Mentirosa from Mellow Man Ace from 1989, a song I love despite the fact that Mellow Man Ace pretty much recorded nothing else that I'm interested in his entire career.
Well, Greg, you know, Bruce Springsteen is our most epic fight in the 43-year history of Sound Opinions.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Cheer him on. I have less than zero use from him. And I say that as somebody from New Jersey. Whether we're talking about the schmaltz of those early E Street Band records that are all teen melodrama, or the bombastic jingoism of Born in the USA, the fake Woody Guthrie Dust Bowl stuff, and then he winds up on Broadway, right? You know, Broadway to me being a cheesy, over-the-top, super theatrical thing, which is the antithesis of rock and roll, that's the reason, shorthand, I've never had use for Bruce Springsteen. However, there is one song that I will actually play for pleasure. Candy's Room, from that bombastic E Street era, Darkness on the Edge of Town, 1978. Now, in researching this, you know, and I've read Springsteen's autobiography. I prefer to read him than listen to him. You know, in researching this, I had never realized that Candy's Room is not about what I'd long thought, like Edge of 17, about a teenage girl coming into adulthood and the powers that she's realizing. No, it's apparently about a sex worker. And it's a cheesy story in Springsteen terms, you know, the kind of Raymond Chandler, you know, film noir, you know, the sex worker with a heart of gold. In Candy's Room, there are pictures of her heroes on the wall. That's what made me think it was about teenage girls in posters, right?
I think it might be, though. I mean, that's one possible interpretation. Has he ever said that it was about a sex worker?
He winks and nods and says, this is a direct quote from Springsteen, "Does it really matter? I'll never tell."
Mm-hmm.
This is what he has said. You know, to get to Candy's Room, you got to walk the darkness of Candy's hall. Strangers from the city call her number and bring her toys. I don't know. There's a sadness hidden in that pretty face, a sadness all her own. I don't know. If I don't listen to the lyrics, I still love it as much as I always have because of that 30-second note, propulsive rhythm on the hi-hat. You know, you know, it's actually kind of very disco, you know, and 78's the year of disco. I mean, like, I'd rather hear Donna Summer cover this, but it's Springsteen and it's the one song I that doesn't make me sick. Candy's Room on Sound Opinions.
In Candy's Room, there are pictures of her heroes on the wall. To get to Candy's Room, gotta walk darkness of Candy's Hall. Strangers from the city call my baby's number and they bring her toys. When I come knocking, she smiles pretty. She knows I wanna be Candy's boy. There's a sadness hidden in that pretty face, a sadness all her own, from which no man can keep Candy safe. We kissed and my heart was just in my brain, and the blood rushes in my veins, the fire rushes through the sky, and all the gold driving deep into the night. I go driving deep into the light in Candy's eyes. She says, baby, if you wanna be wild, you got a lot to learn. Close your eyes, let them melt, let them fire.
That is Candy's Room from Bruce Springsteen, Jim DeRogatis' pick as the one song he can stand by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, one. Yeah.
I've got about 75 others that I add to the list of songs that I love by Springsteen. And I will say, on that song in particular, I always heard it as a young woman who, like many of the characters in Springsteen's songs on his early albums, is still living at home with her parents.
Yeah, but see, I got sucked down that black hole of internet conversation boards by Springsteen superfans, and they were all saying, no, it's a sex worker.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. But I'm just saying my interpretation of that song was that it was never a sex worker so much as a person who is lost, like many of the other characters in Springsteen's early albums.
Either way, it would be better, you know, without his vocal.
Hey, we could have this debate all show long, but we got to take a break here in a second. But what song is it that you, our listeners, love by a band you don't love? Call and leave a message on our hotline with your answer and why. 888-859-1800 or find us on Facebook or Twitter. After a break, Jim and I share more great songs by not-so-great bands. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
You say it's been too long since you had some.